All right, guys, so you've heard that Aunt Jemima, they took her off the syrup bottle.
What?
R.I.P. Tia Jemima. Que descanse.
They not only took her off, but they changed the name. It's not even going to be Aunt Jemima. It's going to be like the General Mill Company or something. Yeah. But this made me think the opening question. What do you think is the most problematic advertising mascot of all time? Okay, I'm gonna start with Frank.
Oh shit. I would think the most problematic guy was the Jolly Green Giant, bro. He looked like a big black dude or Mandingo, like with no clothes on.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I think he was green. I think he was green.
I agree that he was like not clothed. Like he just used to like, you know, step up to like these little villages like half naked, but
yeah. Mad loud, rude. Unannounced,
and you know he wasn't wearing anything under that loincloth, so that was, you know, somebody else. People were seeing something else that was jolly and green.
Yeah.
Anywho,
but I heard he's doing okay. I heard his career. He's got a newfound career in porn, veggie porn. So veggie porn is popping these days. He's good.
Nice. Well, you know. Rachel, what about you?
Okay, I know the answer to this question because Dominicans were in an uproar, okay, over the Cookie Crisp cereal thief, okay, because he looked Dominican.
Yes, I remember that shit.
He was mad Dominican looking, and you know what? Dominicans, we were tired of being depicted as cookie stealing thieves, okay?
Yeah.
So they had to change it. So, you know, the people spoke, and that's a lie. That's all a lie and a made up story.
He was grimy. He looked like one of those thieves from those commercials, those commercials about the security things that people saw in front of people's homes. It's like, you know, with the fake, you know, like, oh, we're gonna go rob this house now. Like, it didn't make me think of cereal. It made me think of like protecting my belongings, you know?
Yeah. He was like also mad Hamburglarish, you know? Like everybody was stealing that masked Zorro type figure back in the 80s. Yeah. What's up with that? What about you, Jamie?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna go for, you know, everybody loved him at the time. But he's a little problematic. I'm gonna go with the Kool-Aid Man.
Kool-Aid Man.
He was very, you know, I think it's problematic to just like knock down a wall in someone's house. You know what I mean? Just stop. You know, just, you know, showing up in someone's house like, oh yeah. And then he had the Kool-Aid. He had an open, you know, his Kool-Aid was dropping out of his head. So. Pretty much like your house is full of like red stains. It looks like, it probably looks like a crime scene because the wall's busted. There's red stains everywhere, right? And then, you know, he's also wearing like a yellow jacket and jeans. Like he was trying to be down. He was a little too urban-ish for my taste.
He was like walking in mad rude, unannounced too, like the Jolly Green Giant. Hello, there's a connection, smoking a Newport, crashing people's walls. Talk about hey, 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 or whatever he used to say. Yeah, it's mad rude, but very Theo-like. I have a lot of Theos like that.
Whatever they're selling, we ain't buying, y'all.
It's the Latinos Out Loud podcast. Latinos, 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 Latinos,
Yo, who you calling a hoe? Hello, it's time, right? Oh my god, it's time again, you guys, we are here. Oh my god, it's time for the LOL Latinos Out Loud podcast. That's what this is.
Yeah.
You've dialed the right dial, as they say. Does anybody use a dial for anything? Maybe just soap. I swear to God, like dials are gone, right? Aren't all dials gone? Everything is digital.
I don't know. Someone's great grandmother.
Still using it.
She's still dialing.
Anyway, hi.
Where's my grandson?
I don't know where your grandson is, but your friend to the end is here, Rachel LaLoca. Hello. Hi.
Okay, Jay Ferns is in the house.
Yes, sir. And Frank Tracy Nibs is up in the heights right now.
Frank, hey. I love your adventures. Frank, your IG stories are popping. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Getting around, Rach, you know, taking nice walks, you know. Heights is beautiful.
Frank, you need like a GoPro, you know? I want to see you just have a strap a GoPro on your arm and just visit the city like you normally do and just go to different places. And I want to feel like I'm Frank for a day. Because with the GoPro, it feels like you're the person, you know, it's that point, the person's point of view. I want to see that. So maybe.
What an endorsement. Jesus, talk about brand mascots. Jay Ferns for GoPro, everybody. How much did they pay you for that?
No, like you know how GoPro is. People use that when they jump off cliffs, you know, and they go underwater and the GoPro still is intact, filming everything. So Frank can literally do anything and the GoPro won't break or, you know, or anything. You know, he can literally just like explore the city the right way.
I'm going to like co-sign Jamie because remember when I got cast for that thing 9 months with Courtney Cox when I was pregnant, they gave me GoPros to shoot. Well, I was cast, but then I was removed from the project as happens in entertainment. So don't go looking for me. I'm not there. I'm only in the teaser. Anyway, how could they put me in the teaser and not put me in the season? Anyway, that's showbiz, I guess. But anyway, I was shooting GoPro and I was like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? At the OB visits, because I used a GoPro, I would prop it up and then let the OP up OP. Yeah, he was down with OPP, but my OB was definitely down with OPP. But like that GoPro was a wide lens, boy. Let me tell you.
Wow, I never thought of bringing a GoPro to like an OBGYN visit. That's intense.
That was part of the contract. I signed a contract as to what kind of coverage I would cover during my pregnancy and the doctor's visits, if the doctor was with it. I had to get his permission, which I did. He was so cool about it. But he's like a showbiz guy. He's like, it's for Courtney Cox. Yeah, I'll do it.
Of a Joe Pro? Can you call it that?
Yeah, that's what it was. Stirrup.
I don't think it was a GoPro, but I remember when I went skydiving a long time ago, like the guy who it was a tandem jump. So the guy who was on top of but the guy who was on top of me, you know, the one who actually, you know, lets out the chute because I wasn't trusting people to do that. Oh my God. All right, you get what I'm saying. It was a tandem, all right? There's the professional and then there's me. So anyway, we're in the air and he had his little camera on his arm. But I think that was pre GoPro. It probably was like a ghetto one. It probably was like one of the first type of cameras to do that. And
it was a no pro,
exactly. Yep. But you could see my fear super close up, you know? You could see every little tear that I had, me screaming for, you know, and it was the perfect angle because it was so close up. So that's why I think those cameras, they capture things that your camera phone, you know, can't capture all the time.
Can I ask a question about skydiving with a GoPro? Because I've never done it. And props to you, honestly, props. Like, wow. But like, I always see those videos that they provide the jumper after, and the music is always some kind of stock free iMovie shit. And I'm like, I wonder what Jamie is actually saying or doing. Like, why is there never real audio from these movies? It's always like, you know, in the videos, it's like, and then the chute opens, and then it's like beautiful. I don't know.
So we had like a cheesy 80s like guitar rock instrumental. It wasn't like a real song. It was just like, and I went with my nephew Andrew, and so he had a tape. He had his own cassette video, and his was they put that song "Time of Your Life" from Green Day. So his was more like emotional. Because it was like, you know, the time of your life. And he's like, he's falling off the air. And it looked like very emotional. With me, it was just like, it was like a bad video game soundtrack. I was like, why didn't they give me kind of a cool kind of, you know, nostalgic kind of song? But no.
Sometimes I'll give myself a break. What did he say? I don't know the words. It's such a nice throwback.
I hope you have the drop of your life.
So Frank, get a GoPro is the net of this conversation. If we have to put a GoBo on it.
We're putting a GoBo on this GoPro convo.
Stop, I can't rhyme anymore. Alrighty, well, guys, happy post-Valentine's Day. How was it? Love is love, as they say.
You know, V-Day, it was my first V-Day as an engagee.
As a fiancé. It was your first V-Day fiancé.
How was it? Was it different than the other ones?
Not really. Every Valentine's... Well, first of all, it was different that, like, we couldn't go out to eat. You know what I mean? I usually like to get the reservations, you know.
Save
some money. Hope you made up for it with the gift.
Well, then, no. I mean, look, she's not a big flower person. Like, she's like, I don't really like flowers.
That's so good for you.
But I still get the flowers.
She's a dream girl.
That's a dream girl, man.
She says she prefers chocolate. So I got her a big, it was like, I ordered a big chocolate heart. And it was one of those hearts that they give you a little hammer and you break it. And it opens up into more chocolate.
So violent. I've never heard of that.
So,
like, break my heart. Should that be playing in the background? Like,
don't break my heart.
Unbreak my heart. Exactly.
No, that's like sad.
It's sad, but it's, you know.
So you broke her heart on Valentine's Day.
You feel that chocolate, and you feel a little puffy. Like, it is a sad moment. You're like, I ate too much, but I did get her flowers, and I still got roses because even though she's like, I'm not a. And then she was like, oh, yeah, but next time get me white roses.
Ah.
So maybe she's just not a fan of red roses. I don't know.
Okay.
You learn something new. You learn something new every year.
Yeah.
You know, you could be particular about roses. They make so many different colors now that it's.
I think everybody's just like, I think red roses is the go-to, and it's probably, you probably expect it. So maybe if you're not a fan of red roses, maybe you just want something different just to be, think outside the box, right? So I went with the red, I went with the normal, imaginative.
Yeah, she wanted you to change it up, bro, Jamie, you know what I mean?
Well, watch, now next year I'm going to just get like these random colors. I'm just going to get a random rose. Random,
like assorted, variety.
Well, I think in the past I've done a variety, but this year I went red and I think it was too, run of the mill.
Yeah.
But the chocolate she liked, so 50-50.
In my head, I'm like, as a fiance, is there less pressure now to deliver? Because it's like you just delivered the ultimate, is there less pressure or no?
Maybe just this year. I think maybe this year I get a little bit of less pressure just because it's like we're still in that, post engagement high.
Yeah.
But by next year, it's going to be like, by next year, Valentine's is going to be probably close to the wedding itself. So I might even get a pass there because it's kind of like, we're focused on the wedding. Don't buy too much Valentine's shit right now. Focus on the wedding.
Just get me a single rose. Let's spend more money on the centerpieces. Okay.
Jamie, just a little piece of advice. Rachel, maybe you could back me up on this.
Dime, Frank.
No matter what, Jamie, even if the wedding is coming up, you gotta keep your foot on the pedal, man. Always.
On the rose pedal?
On the Oh my gosh.
Always keep your foot on the rose pedal, fellas. Okay.
I like that. Wow.
Put that on a bumper sticker, okay? Remember it next Valentine's Day. Always. Frank's right. I'm gonna back you up on that. Even in good times or bad, there must be some greenery. Although I'd appreciate a different kind of greenery. A bouquet of that kind of greenery would be very romantic.
What, even if it was just like a Hallmark card full of money?
Yeah.
Oh, that's romantic also. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like that kind of green.
I always wanted to do a balloon, an air balloon romantic thing, It's hard to find that in the city. Like, you'd have to go like all the way upstate
for that. You need to go like 5 hours away for that.
I would need to find a way to get there.
We're going to talk about upstate a little later. I want to hear more about Valentine's Day before I tell you about my hot air balloon ride.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much what Frank, were you doing anything fun on Valentine's?
I mean, coincidentally, the restaurants just opened up. This is post-COVID.
So in New York City.
The restaurants opened up Friday, and then Valentine's was on Saturday. So it was like a big weekend, you know?
It's like at 20%, but like if you walk around my in the Heights, our neighborhood, it looks like more than 20%. You got people like up in the bars, and you got people like,
yeah, man,
waiting in line for shit. I'm like, wait, what's happening in there? This was 20%.
Like, I mean,
this was like the first weekend, man, since they shut the restaurants down. So everybody's was like in a festive.
But you were on the prowl looking for your Valentine? What's going on?
Nah, I was just going out with friends I haven't seen the whole winter. So it was like you guys know that first week is like everybody's just dying to see each other again. So I went out like three times. I went on Friday. I went out Saturday.
Wait, but what is your first week is when the restaurants open? it's the first week where everybody's been vaccinated. You're like, you know that first week when the restaurants open at 20%, everybody's going to meet up, you know?
I mean, there's people you see at your crib that can come up to your crib, and then there's the people that you don't invite to your crib. So those are the people you got to, like, you know, you're like, oh, shit, I haven't seen you in a minute. So, you know, you touch base with. So living in the Heights, you know, so-and-so passes through. Yo, come through. So, you know. I saw Carlos Lampe, you know, we hung out.
Lampele, what's up with Lampele?
Wow. I haven't seen him in a minute. So, you know, we touched base. It was, you know, it was cool, man. Touching base, everybody.
And you, Rachel? You know, it's always love. With kids, it's so much fun, I have to say, because then Valentine's Day expands to the seeds, you know? It's like the arts and crafts is a part of it, the baking, the cooking. Yes. You know, grandma and grandpa got a Valentine's Day card. Little man has a girlfriend, apparently.
And you told me he's on FaceTime with his chick.
Wow.
He's FaceTiming with this little girl. It's so cute. They and get a load of this. She sent him a Valentine's Day goodie bag in the mail. Now that we're back in the city, all this mail, I'm like, what is this? He was excited.
So he getting Valentine's sent to him? That's some baller. Yes! Some baller stuff going on.
It was so cute. She made him a little Valentine. It says, I love you, Donovan. So she's already professing her love.
He's a little play already.
Okay. Is he feeling suffocated already? Because that... Well, even though he's young, he might already get that feeling of like, yeah, I thought this was just a casual thing.
I told him to ride it out and relax because her father's a doctor.
Okay. Already?
That's too far.
You know, play dates at the father's boat, you know?
But I think that that's a really good direction to go in. It's clean. It's sanitary. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, he got his little Valentine. The cutest thing is that he made one for her. So they made one for each other, not knowing they were going to make one for each other. So there is a connection here, people.
Wow.
And then I took a picture of it and texted it to her mom. But they physically mailed him something, which is so dear and sweet. Oh, my God. The innocence of love at this age. It's so cute. So Valentine's Day was nice. It was really cool. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, the flowers were here. So, yep, Frank, you're right.
All right. You were waiting for those. You were like, them shits better get here, yo. It's going to be some, shit's going to pop off if them shits don't get here.
Frank, I love how you have this like idea of the thoughts that loom in my brain. That's really not how I think, Frank. Okay. I mean, that's like not, no.
Oh, man.
Maybe the Rachel of like 10, 15 years ago, or like maybe, all right, let's be more honest. Maybe the Rachel of like 6, 7 years ago, but no, like the Rachel of now was like, oh, that's wonderful.
Know what? Your husband always comes through. So you don't even have to think that way. Edgar always comes through, I'm sure.
He delivers.
He always comes through.
Yep, speaking of flowers.
Speaking of deliveries, this is not a good transition because you didn't make a delivery, but you had to drive somewhere.
Oh, I had to deliver my voice.
You had to deliver your voice somewhere pretty far. And there's a story here and we want to hear it. So what's going on? Why are you up in the Catskills?
Damn.
You know, on a potentially snowy New York day. Like what went on? What's going on there?
Well, first of all, I just have to say, like being a voice actor, No, it's really cool to do VO work. You know, you show up.
It was a VO job, right?
Yes, it was a VO gig that I booked. Shout out to my manager. But it was a studio in the Catskills. Listen to this, guys. Are you ready for this? Sure. So at first I was like, sketchy dot Sketcherson. But you know what? My manager booked it, so it has to be legit. But it was a studio inside of a barn in a town called Accord, New York, which is just adjacent to the Catskills. Damn. So it was a nice 3-hour drive north of New York City on a snowy, the day after the snowy day. I wouldn't drive in the snow, people.
This sounds like one of Frank's underground parties. No, nah, it's like 3 hours up in the Catskills, but it's like a little
in a converted barn. Yeah, I thought I was going to walk into like, a booth next to some cows and horses, but no, it was a fully converted barn. It was beautiful. And then looking out the glass windows into the Catskill Mountains with the snow and the deer running, it was gorgeous. Wow. But I don't talk a lot of Spanish, but you give me a Spanish script, I will freak it. I'm good with enunciation and words right. that I don't know what they mean.
This script wasn't, you did a job in Spanish. This is your first job in Spanish that you've done.
It's not my first, but it is my first medical industrial in Spanish.
Wow.
So this was a video for a medical device that I guess older people would put on their body.
Wait a minute, hold on. What is this device used for?
I don't know if I can really
Frank, talk about get your it. Mind out the gutter.
Okay.
But I will say it's a pain reliever. Okay. And it also helps prepare people with bad lower back pain for MRIs. And there's a whole bunch of, a slew of scientific stuff about this.
Okay.
But anyway, it was an industrial. And so I did, those videos where it's like, hi, I'm Bridget. This video is going to show you how to use your device. So I had to dub Spanish over the English language videos. Gotcha. So I had to watch the English language videos and then say it in Spanish. But you guys know our language. Can we just talk about the Spanish language for a second? Why the heck does it take 30 words to say something in Spanish, but in English, it's like a 5-word sentence? That's why we're dramatic people. That's why. Because something that we could say like in 2 words in English, it's like, 17 in Spanish. Because we got to add. We got to add as much as possible.
It's layers to us. We got to add more to it all the time.
But it was cool. So, okay, the story is, look, quickly, I had a Spanish language coach who was available via Zoom to help me with the words, because there were some big words, estimulación, proporcionará.
Estimulación.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
There were a bunch of other crazy terms. But anyway, when people are recording VO, there's a button you press where only the director and the people behind the glass in the studio can hear what's going on, right?
Yes.
And then you can press that button if you want the talent to hear something like, we're going to take that from the top. Like they press the button. So I don't know what happened. I guess somebody pressed the button. I heard conversation that I really wasn't supposed to hear. Ooh. I'm not going to go into full detail about it, but I will say, anybody else with thinner skin than I have, might not have made it out there without tears in their eyes.
Oh, man.
Man. What was the good stuff
you heard? It was a hard script. And, the beginning was a little rocky. I had to, get my tongue a little more ready for all these 17-syllable words.
Right.
But it was okay, because then I found the groove. Because in my head, that gave me more fuel, people. I was like, no, I came here because I could nail this. And I'm going to nail it.
Dope.
And you have to nail it, because you can't just walk out and be like, oh wait, I got a 3-hour drive back and I'm not paid. It's like, nope, gotta finish this. Gotta go the whole way. I gotta reach the finish line. I'm not gonna give up.
Yeah, it was something in that net. I was out of my comfort zone, and I'm so glad I did it. Because I'm proud. I'm proud. Like I nailed the language that day. I said words that I have never used in my life. I had a coach help me learn them.
Wow.
And you could do it, people. You could do it.
Wow. So Rachel, you're most likely going to take on more Spanish speaking roles, perhaps?
I would like to. I enjoy it again, like learning these words. It's just enunciation and acting. And I really enjoyed the challenge of having watched the woman deliver it in English and having to match her cadence and her delivery and make it sound like a true medical industrial where I'm actually teaching people how to use the device that they just invested however much money in. And it's kind of cool. You know, when you think about that, like these devices are going to help people with like lower back pain. So that's cool.
Right.
So yeah, shout out to the Catskills. That's all I got.
That's a great VO, heartwarming VO story, Rachel.
Yes.
Thanks, Jamie. Thought I'd share it here on the podcast.
Next time they need to bring you, they need to send a car for you.
I didn't mind the drive, actually. I told Frank,
you gotta reach a you're gonna reach a level where like you're not doing it, you're not agreeing to do it without having a car sent for you.
Oh, but that's they paid for my travel. They paid for the car. They paid for that separate, so that was nice too.
You should have taken an Uber.
I was thinking of calling Frank, be like, Frank, you want to go for a ride to the Catskills?
Oh wow.
Hey, I might go back to Uber. You never know. I might just back. That might make me go back to Uber. You know.
Next time. Right?
Okay. Nice.
Well, for now, can we go back to Bochicha Bites? Is that
cool? All right.
Oh.
I've been waiting all day. I've been waiting all night. I've been waiting all day. Bochicha Bites. I've been waiting all day. I've been waiting all night. I've been waiting all day. Bochicha Bites.
What up, y'all?
Hey, Jamie.
Is that you? Hey, Jamie.
Yeah.
It is I.
Hi.
What's going on, guys?
Everything's good, Jamie. How you doing? Good.
So we were talking about, you know, Valentine's. Yeah, celebrities, they know how to do Valentine's the right way. Yeah. And my first bite is an example of Valentine's done the right way. Michael B. Jordan. He rented an aquarium.
Damn.
For Valentine's Day. He's dating
a shark. Where's this going?
He just sounds like a chapeadora. Serious shark.
Yeah. He's something. Someone amphibious. I don't know.
Okay, that's cool.
No, he's dating Steve Harvey's stepdaughter. So she doesn't look like Steve Harvey. She's just a stepdaughter, not the daughter. So
very nice.
Wow.
She would definitely have to, like, you know, trim her mustache now and then if she was related to him. But no blood relation to Steve Harvey, just step. But, you know, this particular, she's actually dated a bunch. She used to date Puff Daddy, P. Diddy. So she's known to, like, date famous men with a lot of money, right? So, but she's dating Michael B. Jordan now, and he evidently her favorite animal, she loves turtles.
Turtle. So
he was like, oh great, I'm like an A-list celebrity. I can just rent out an aquarium.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. I mean, a regular non-A-list celebrity might just like take their girl to a pet store and go to the turtle section and be like, yo, look
at the turtle,
you took
baby.
Me to Petland discount, motherfucker. Seriously, for Valentine's Day? What do you think? I'm stupid? You're going to buy me a goldfish? You think that's romantic? I smell like hamster shit in here. Get me out of here.
Jody is the best camera pick can get, yo. Come on.
Why can't you be like Michael B. Jordan and rent me an aquarium?
What the fuck? An aquarium. Wow. That's amazing.
It's no, I think, look, this is, so if you're a celebrity, first of all, Michael B. Jordan doesn't really have to do that, right? You know what I mean? So you got to give him extra props for going that extra mile when really all you have to do is show up and be like, oh, hey, what's up? I'm Michael B. Jordan.
Wow. Yeah.
He got a whole aquarium. That's
big. So romantic. Know,
yeah. It does. And a lot of people were swooning because she was posting this on her Instagram live, like as it was happening. So all these women were basically like, yo, but why my man don't get my rent an aquarium for me? Oh, hell no.
Michael B. Jordan's girl got a whole aquarium. Hello.
You heard about Michael B. Jordan and said I'm dating Michael B. Broke. Okay? What's up with you? Yo, quick Michael B. Jordan sidebar. Did I text you guys that they were asking for my availability to do an improv comedy scene in a new Michael B. Jordan film opposite Michael B. Jordan, produced by Denzel Washington? Did I tell you this?
After your voiceover audition?
I guess I'm hot right now. I don't know what's going on, but I got passed over.
You
like,
oh, but you
got
to go all the way, you know, you got to go to Woodstock, New York. There's an underground bunker, but it got turned into a studio.
Jamie Fernandez, to be opposite Michael B. Jordan in a scene, by the way, no lines, just a quick comedy thing. They wanted somebody good with improv, so they checked my availability. Do you know how open I got? But that's this industry for you, right? My manager was like, by the way, they went in a different direction. And I was like, I was this close to Michael being like nose to nose with Michael B. Jordan on set.
Damn.
So close.
Oh, no.
So close, yet so far. It'll happen one day. Maybe. Yeah. It's happened in my dreams already ever since I got that email, and it was nice.
You made sure that it said on the, it said Michael B. Jordan. It wasn't some random dude like Michael D. Jordan. And then you go,
maybe it
and
was. It's like,
yo, what's up? I'm Michael B. Jordan. This is a short film I'm trying to do, and I'm glad you were going to be a part of it. You're like, wait a minute. I just sworn it said B, not D. My bad.
I was wondering why it was spelled Michael B. E. E. Jordan. I was curious. Maybe it was like some kind of bee flick or like, you know, kind of documentary on beekeeping.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, speaking on the theme of romantic things celebrities do, Machine Gun Kelly, the rapper, actor, who he's dating Megan Fox.
Oh,
and
man.
He says he wears Megan Fox's blood around his neck.
What?
That's pretty romantic, no?
Yeah, that's like a hickey almost, right?
Blood.
That's a bloody hickey then. I don't know what hickeys. I don't know how you give hickeys, Frank, but that's yeah, some vampire shit.
You be piercing skin when you give a hickey? What the fuck?
I stopped getting those in high school, man. I quit after high school.
No, yeah. Well, hickeys are dangerous because hickeys can go totally wrong. I've had some go totally wrong where I'm like, what?
Ooh. Huh? Jamie and I could probably relate to this. Being fair skin and getting a hickey is
black
not
and
right.
Blue.
Not
sick.
Cool.
Hey.
Oh
not
man, cool. Jamie, that must stick around on you for like months afterwards.
Yeah, it looks like I have like the Ebola virus on my neck. You know what I mean? Like it looks like some shit is happening and you don't know the color. You don't recognize any of the colors. It's just like, what is this purplish, yellowish like mark you have on your neck? And it's like, I don't even want to talk about it. It was, let's just say it was a first and last date.
Man.
But
hickeys.
I don't know. I mean, I don't wearing the blood. I mean, that's
blood necklace. What's up with that?
Huh? I mean, what is that, out of love or something, that he takes the blood and puts it around her neck?
I mean, they're celebrities, so maybe they want people to hear this news and they want people to think that they have this, you know, this love that'll last a lifetime. But I'm pretty sure Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox is not one for the ages, right? I'm pretty sure they're not going to be like elderly. They're not going to be grow old together, right? This is not a Notebook situation.
Maybe she had her
period. Eventually they break up and he'll just be like, yo, man, I'm throwing this blood out. I'm putting this in the sink. I'm gonna throw this in the sink. I'm done with this girl.
So maybe he takes her tampon and just puts it around his neck, you know?
Wow, Frank.
Oh, wow.
Well, we didn't hear what kind of blood. It could be period blood. It could be fresh blood. It could be, blood put through a centrifuge. I don't know. Tell us what kind of blood it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's the one thing they'll probably keep to themselves.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I don't put it past anybody putting any bodily secretion wherever. Look, my sister gets frog urine injected into her arm for her sinus
pain. Frog urine? What the hell for?
It's a thing. Google it. You'd be into it, Frank, by the way. Look up frog urine and she
gets it. Okay, wait, Rachel. I just Googled it. I see pictures of Miss Piggy doing something awful.
Oh my God. What a froggy Kermit golden shower? What did you find?
Yeah, I don't know what. Now I'm in this whole XXX Muppets rabbit hole on online. Thanks, Rachel.
You're welcome. Can we get back to the bites?
Okay, back to the bites. Speaking of, love, and we'll stick to that theme. There's a new dating trend. It's a new COVID dating trend. Ah. And it's called Fauci-ing. Like Fauci.
Stop it.
Like named after Dr. Fauci. It's a new dating trend.
We always talk about him.
Sounds a little Asian. Fauci.
Hey, Dr. Fauci, how you doing? So it's called Fauci-ing. I can't even say it. Fauci-ing. And it's when someone declines to date someone else if they don't appear to take the virus seriously enough.
Oh, shit. I'm fucked then.
I was going to say, Frank is going to get rejected by a bunch of people that are Fauci-ing. They're going to be like, no, I practice Fauci-ing. Sorry, Frank.
What are requirements?
You're just too blasé about the virus for me.
Wow. This is getting serious. So what are the requirements, Jamie? What do they look for?
It's basically you're just cutting off a relationship if you don't think that the other person is serious enough about social distancing.
Oh.
And taking the pandemic seriously, right? And you know, if you come across someone like that and you want to tell them how you feel, you're gonna be like, "Yo, I'm gonna Fauci you." That's what they usually say. I'm gonna Fauci you,
motherfucker. I'm gonna Fauci you.
You've just been Fauci'd. Is that how you break up with people now?
Yeah, exactly. You've just been Fauci'd.
You've been Fauci, son.
I mean, you know, it's a thing. I could see that, you know, I think someone is going to would have to be really like, they don't give a shit. Like if it's a first date and you're with someone and for you to Fauci them, they have to be really blatant about not caring about the virus. You know what I mean? Like they have to show up with no mask, you know, they have to just kind of, you know, not wash their hands, you know, after they go to the bathroom.
Right.
You know, shit like that, I think would, you know, because other than that, you wouldn't know, you know, somebody could fake it in front of you. And then when they get home, that's when they're all like,
damn, dude. So maybe like when you enter the car, you have to get like a handkerchief or something, open the car for the door.
That's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Right. Put the handkerchiefs
are the new condoms.
Yeah.
Oh. And you know what? Antibacterial is the new lube.
Ooh.
Okay. Wow. No, don't use that at home. I didn't mean it that way. Like, don't use antibacterial for lube.
Dog urine, antibacterial lube. Like, what is Rachel?
Not a suggestion. I'm just saying the new, like, you know.
That shit burns, Rachel. But go ahead.
Do you have experience?
I put Vicks one time on, but we'll talk about that another time.
Wow, Frank.
Okay, yeah, guys. Okay, let's move on because that Vic story sounds really inappropriate.
Yep.
So, guys, the last bite, real quick. Yeah, you've heard about this Gorilla Glue girl, right?
No, what's going on?
A Louisiana woman went viral because she got Gorilla Glue all up in her hair.
Right, but she put it in her hair. She was the one that did it herself. She got like a GoFundMe now and like she's making money.
Yeah, well, now she has her own full-time agent. So evidently doing stupid shit online can get you an agent, can get you a talent agent. So, you know, Glue Girl might show up in I don't know, one of your favorite shows or something. I don't know. But I could see her being in, I don't know, Big Brother or some reality type shit. Like she's extending her 15 minutes of fame. You know what I mean?
Wow.
But we get her on the Latinos Out Loud podcast? Is that what you're saying?
I think this is basically a pitch to get Gorilla Glue Girl on the podcast.
Yo, but it's getting serious. Then a Gorilla Glue challenge started coming about and people started taking Gorilla Glue and putting like, you know, shutting their nostrils.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if people really want to do that because she had to have surgery. She had to have hair saving surgery.
Right.
In Beverly Hills. She went to Beverly Hills, so she already, you know, she probably had her agent already be like, look, get the surgery, film it, and we're going to air it everywhere. You know what I mean?
Wow.
It's going to be a documentary shortly, right? We'll see the documentary on like, I don't know.
And she's selling her merchandise. She got merch. She got a sweatshirt with her own face on it.
Yeah.
So she's doing it right. If you're gonna get caught doing something really stupid, you might as well make a career out of it.
Wow, she's making money. I seen her face like even on the Gorilla Glue like label. Like people are like putting that all over the place now. That's amazing.
And her manager, I don't know if we know who this man, but it's a Latina. Gina Rodriguez. So I don't know who that
is. Okay,
we might get Latina is shouting her out. So hey, Gina Rodriguez, We'll be down to do something with gorilla hair lady.
Gorilla glue girl.
Like, let us, maybe we could do a skit, you know what I mean?
Interesting.
I don't know, you know what I mean? Although it might turn out to be a sticky situation, but we'll see.
Jamie!
All right, those are the bites for this week, y'all.
Yes! So that means it's time for Frankspiracy News.
Live from La Gran Manzana, it's Frankspiracy News with Frank Nibs.
Hello! Folks!
Hey, Frank.
Hi, Frank.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, look at you. Is it you? Yeah, it's you.
That's great.
Hey.
Guys, I got a good one for you. I waited. Obviously, you know, it's about Valentine's Day, but, you know, in honor of Jamie and Mike getting hitched up this year, I kind of waited. I didn't want to ruin things for you guys.
Tan lindo, tan lindo.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that, but I got to talk about this holiday, and I did some research, and I found out the real origins of Valentine's Day, guys. This is amazing. I never knew this.
Ooh. Stupid, right? There was a dude with an arrow who shot it in a girl's butt, and they fell in love, and that was it.
Well, Cupid.
So you think I'm Cupid?
Well, guys, I don't want to, you know, I don't want, like, first of all, guys, this is a pagan holiday. So, you know, paganism, I don't want to really get into it. These guys are a little weird. And they made Cupid into a kid. Okay? And you don't notice, and he always shoots an arrow into your butt.
Yes.
That's kind of weird, right?
I've felt it in the past. It hurts.
You've been shot with Cupid's bow? Or
many times
arrow?
In the past, yeah.
Guys, Cupid comes from the Romans, and it was a holiday. It's a pagan holiday, and it was a holiday between the Romans and the Roman Catholic Church, guys. And Cupid is really a baby. His name is Eros. He's a Greek god of love, okay?
Oh.
Precisely of passionate and physical desire. And he comes without a warning, and he selects his target and forcefully strikes their hearts or their buttocks. Okay?
Why is he obsessed with the buttocks? That's kind of problematic.
Well, I mean, you know, the pagans are kind of weird, Jamie, and I don't really want to get into that. But, you know, that whole Cupid thing, I don't really want to get into it. But I'm going to really, you know, I'm going to leave it up to your imagination. You know, they were kind of weird. But I'm going to talk to you guys about how Valentine's Day started. It started in the 5th century, but it really comes from the 3rd or 4th century, where there was an emperor that really got upset with a bishop because that emperor didn't want anyone getting married because there was times of war and he wanted his soldiers marrying any girls because people felt that that brought down like the armies and the men like from being really aggressive. So he didn't want them to get married. And this bishop was marrying.
Who are you calling a bishop, first of all?
Well, this bishop was marrying it was a bishop. It's in the Catholic Church. He was marrying people secretly.
A bishop, okay.
Right. And the emperor found out, and when he found out, he had him killed, okay?
What? So when gangsta.
Guy, listen to this.
Overreacting much?
A little.
That bishop fell in love while he was in jail, and the last letter he wrote was, "Dear Valentine." So that's why we always write "Dear Valentine." And they say that is your death notice whenever you put that and you write that to your lover. And it's your order of execution. Okay, that person takes your heart. Okay? And listen to this, guys. That emperor supposedly killed that bishop and he took out his heart and he ate it. Okay? That's what they say. And that's why we say—
Wait, this was a real heart, not a chocolate heart?
Well, that's what they say. We send boxes of a heart with chocolates inside. What do we do with the chocolates? We eat them, right?
We break them with hammers, apparently. With
hammers, and we eat them. So they say that's a symbolism of what that emperor did to that bishop back in the, you know, 3rd and 4th century, guys.
Wow.
This is really interesting.
Okay,
and
but what I thought Valentine, Saint Valentine, was a saint.
He became a saint in the fifth century when they made it an actual holiday. Okay, they made him into a saint eventually, and that was really just the Roman Catholic Church and the Roman Emperor coming together and coming with this holiday because the Romans and the Catholic Church had to come together and they had to make like that was part of also Valentine's is part of religion and it's a part of getting people into religion and preaching love and so on and so forth.
Oh, so you're saying Cupid is like my step-grandmother, rest in peace, who was always trying to get me to convert to Catholicism every holiday. Right. Every Christmas, she would always, you know, come here, sit on my lap. Let me tell you more about Jesus. And by the way, it worked. I converted a few years ago, so.
Oh, you did, Rachel.
I did. I sure did. Rest in peace, Abuela Tona. I know you're watching.
Abuela Tona. But guys, this holiday is very interesting to me because it's been spreading like no other holiday between this one and Halloween to me. Like, I remember going to DR like in 1990 and no one mentioned Valentine's, and now they refer to it as El Día de Amistad. El Día de Amistad. So this holiday has become like, it's like such a huge holiday, and it's so interesting to me. Now it's like even now bled into like family members. You tell them Happy Valentine's Day, or even like your kids. Like back then, it was just between lovers. But it's so interesting how this Roman Catholicism holiday became like a world holiday. It's just amazing.
I also didn't really know who else to call, you know, like with the kids involved. It was like, okay, should we just go down the whole speed dial list and call everybody in the family to say Happy Valentine's Day? What is this cockamamie shit? Like, what's happening now? Everybody's got to hear I love you on Valentine's Day? Great. More for me to do. It's fine.
Well, I love Valentine's, but it always kills me because it's so close to Christmas. So I was always broke and, you know, having one or two chicks, they really like...
Frank, it's a few months apart. Shit.
Nah, come on. You know, around February is when you're recovering, man. So it's,
coño.
Come on, you're mine.
La cosa dura.
Rachel, flowers, taking out a girl and a gift. Come on, you're gonna throw like 200, 300 down. Like, come on, you know what's up, man. It ain't easy.
If you're going to win an aquarium, you better know.
You know, ain't easy. And if you got two, you know, you got, that's two gifts. That's two times going out. Oh no, you taking me out on Valentine's. You think I'm stupid?
Listen, that turtle shit is amazing. I bet you the turtles wasn't the only things that was swimming that night. You know what I'm saying? Okay, hey, somebody got it on. Hello.
I mean, Michael B. Jordan is known to get his dates wet.
Whoa.
At the aquarium?
At the aquarium, yeah.
Okay. No, Jamie's not that dirty.
No. I meant it was a PG statement.
Got it.
Yeah.
Nah, but guys, this holiday, honestly, is taking over. Maybe, no, you know what? Maybe next year we do like a little LOL Valentine's, you know, get together. I don't know. This holiday.
That would be sweet.
Yeah, hold on, yeah, this
That'll holiday, be very romantic.
Yeah. We bring our significant others. I don't know. We do something because this holiday is like, it's really getting up there. And every year it gets bigger and bigger. Like, it's amazing. But anyway, guys, this is my fake news for this week, guys.
Woohoo!
Thanks, Frank. We love it. Get it? Love? No.
Love it. Okay. Got it. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Frank. So I guess it's time for Que Lo Que. Un, dos, tres, vamos a bailar otra vez. Que lo que, 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 que lo que. Un, dos, tres, meneate otra vez. Que lo que, 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 que lo que. All right, you guys, it is time for Que Lo Que. So, yo, Frank, Que Lo Que.
Que Lo Que. I want to give a big rest in peace to, about a few weeks ago, we lost the greatest rapper of all time, Big Pun, on February 7th. It was his 21st anniversary of his passing. I just want to put that out there. He's the best of all time, and I just want to give him some love. And today, we just lost one of the, like, legendary Fania composers, creator, Mr. Johnny Pacheco, we lost today. Yeah, man. He was part of a huge revolutionary group, Fania All-Stars. That was with, you know, Celia Cruz, Hector Lavoe, Rey Barreto in the 70s. Guys, you guys got to check this guy out. He's part of a lot of, you know, big things in New York when Latinos came here. And they started that whole revolution with salsa and, you know, jazz and all these different sounds. So rest in peace to those two amazing artists. Thank you.
Yeah. Rest in peace. Moment of silence for Johnny Pacheco one time. R.I.P. Yo, Jamie, what's good? Yo, que lo que?
Much love to our peeps at Yero.com, the lifestyle and news platform for Latino men.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, we all know 2020 was a year we'd all soon forget. But if you look hard enough, there were moments of meaning, pride, and even celebration. In 2020, a number of Latino men made a mark in their communities and the world at large. Yeros, Man of 2020 is coming soon, y'all.
Wow. Are you guys on the list or what?
Oh, I emailed them and said, hey, I'm down if you want to put me on the list. I'll even do a sexy calendar if you need me to. You know what I mean? I'll be June in the calendar. Let me know. No, check that out, though, for yero.com. And yeah, my socials are Jay Ferns Instagram, J_Ferns Twitter. That's all, folks.
All right.
All right. Yes, please follow me at Rachel La Loca, R-A-C-H-E-L La Loca. There's a little bit of everything on my IG story. So come on, come all. I want to also give a big birthday shout out to my homegirl, my fellow hilarious sister, Black Rose.
Ooh.
She's turning a big, I'm not going to say the age, but you know, I wouldn't put her out like that, but she is one of my homegirls. I have grown to love this woman so much. And please follow her at I Am Black Rose NYC. And shout out to the whole New Year City crew, the Have a Good Night crew, Ken Stars and all of them. We got to get them back on the show. So word. Follow them. I just love the like comedy crews. You know what I'm saying? It just shows so much unity in the comedy space. And like Room 28 really instilled a lot of that comedic unity in me, just seeing the power of what we could do when we come together. So I love it. Keep doing it. Follow the show at We Are Latinos Out Loud. And please keep leaving those reviews for us. All right, guys. One love. Stay safe out there. Double mask up. And on that note, we out.
All right.